ER-101. Get the 411 on your 911. Here's your host and emergency room physician, Dr. Lee Vinoker.
Hello and welcome back to ER-101. Well, according to the CDC, the number of measles cases in the U.S. has reached a 20-year high. Here to talk about it, an expert and frequent guest of the show, Dr. Lobitz, an emergency physician in Columbia, South Carolina. He's a fellow of the American College of Emergency Physicians. So thank you, Dr. Lobitz, for being here.
Oh, thank you for having me again.
So, yeah, I mean, this is a startling thing. You know, we see it. I mean, that was one of the childhood diseases that I guess we had said that we eliminated it in the U.S. back in 2000. So what's happening?
Well, it's one of those things that's pretty complicated once you get under the surface. There, of course, there's been a lot of press and attention to people not getting vaccinations for various reasons. A lot of celebrities in Hollywood, for example, have been talking about not getting vaccines. There are religious fundamentalist groups that are big on not getting vaccines, and those groups kind of form a core where measles can break out, so to speak.
Yeah, and what's interesting is it used to be easier. I heard a lot of states now are changing their qualifications, but in the past, because of separation of church and state, you could say, oh, for religious reasons, I don't want my child vaccinated. You didn't even really have to say much more. But I heard, and thankfully so, that states are getting more strict about that. It's a slippery slope, right? Because religious freedom is key in this country. But they are getting a little strict about what will qualify you not to vaccinate your kids.
Yes. Well, what they did is change the language. There's no religious exemption anymore, but there's a personal exemption. Some states still say, well, even if it's against the personal beliefs for whatever reason, that can be a reason not to get the vaccinations. But you're right that the backlash is starting now that all these cases are coming out, that that quote-unquote personal exemption is now being struck down as well.
Yeah. And top of it, it's it's a public health issue, and many times, we talk about personal rights that might feel like they're being infringed upon for the good of public health. For instance, quarantine people, with bad tuberculosis that's resistant, that's being spread, all these things to make sure they take their medicine. So, there is
exactly and I think it even gets back to just the good member of society kind of argument. Now, we pay our taxes to maintain the roads and to pay the fire department. You may never use the fire department because if your house never starts on fire, but you still pay those taxes. The same is true here. You still vaccinate your kids, even though you may not be protecting them per se, but it's kind of a matter of what we call herd immunity. As long as the immunization rates throughout the whole kind of country and population is over 95%, even if there are a few that don't particularly get their vaccinations, it kind of wears off into that small minority. When the rates of vaccinations are less than 95%, and that's the problem with measles, is that some areas are less than 90%, lose that herd immunity, and there are enough exceptions and vulnerable children, and so they still will get the measles.
Right. And part of this, too, is, maybe we did eliminate measles, homegrown kind of measles from here, but it's because we live in a global society today. Don't you think that it's just...
Right, and that's the other thing that's going on now. And last year, there were about 200 cases of measles in the U.S. This year, there are already over 300, like you pointed out. And it turns out about half of them last year, and we don't have the exact numbers on all the cases this year, but of those 200 or so cases last year, half of them were in groups, for example, one of the outbreaks was in Ohio, in the group of Amish people, where their vaccination rates are down around 20%. Wow. Well, somebody from that Amish community went to the Philippines, where measles is rampant, because the vaccinations rates there are very low as well. So that person gets into an endemic area, picks up the measles, and brings it back to Ohio, and it spreads throughout the community of people that did not get vaccinated.
Right.
That's been the scenario that explains most of the cases now.
Right. I mean, I guess there's a little bit of good news. I think the CDC reported that There were no deaths yet in 2014.
Correct. There have been no deaths. And that's, well, of course, that's the danger, though. Like I said, the last year there were 200 cases. Now we're up to 300 cases. Well, it turned the fatality rate for measles is about 1 in 1,000. So now if that number keeps rising and next year we have 1,000 cases or 2,000 cases, then there are going to be one or two children that are going to die from it.
Yeah, and that's a good point. And now refresh everyone's memory, because it's been so long, really, since most of us have seen the measles. What exactly is the measles, and what are the symptoms, and how do you catch it?
I don't know if blessed is the right word, but I trained 20 years ago at a big charity hospital in New Orleans where we actually saw several cases of measles back in the day. And I kind of feel sorry for the younger physicians now who have never seen a case, you know, that have been, because the rates have been so low for so many years, a lot of the younger doctors now have never even seen a case.
Uh-huh. So
I was lucky enough to have them. It's just a typical virus infection with a rash. Okay, it's kind of the typical thing that all mothers are always looking out for. Now, the child has fever for 2 or 3 days, and then they get weird red spots and don't know what it is. Well, again, this is kind of the classic. Measles causes the classic, again, is 3 or 4 days of fever. It's the classic kind of triad is the runny, stuffy nose, you know, coughing and injected eyes, you know, red, watery eyes.
Yeah.
Then they start with a rash, and it's a rash that, you know, it can look kind of very generic compared to lots of other viruses that we see now. But again, it's that classic red spots that kind of merge with each other.
Right.
Each one in particular, you know, is less than a half an inch, around a quarter of an inch in size, and you just get hundreds and hundreds of them until they kind of merge all together.
Right.
It tends to kind of start around the head and face and spread down to the feet. It usually comes, it's one of those kind of delayed things, too, which makes it a little confusing because the rash very often doesn't come out until 2 weeks after the child was exposed.
Yeah,
and then the whole illness, you know, lasts about 7 or 10 days.
Right, and you can also continue to be infectious 4 days after the rash. And I think the eyes thing is a good, you know, lots of kids will get cold, runny nose, and a weird-looking rash. But when you really see the measles cases, the classic with the, you know, really red, like pink eye. Now, some other viruses can cause pink eye, but this triad together should make people suspicious. Right.
Right. It's one of those things where, quote-unquote, normal pink eye is almost always just in one eye. And
right.
Measles pink eye, if you want to call it that, is almost always in both eyes. And, yes, that's one of the ways you can tell.
Right, which is interesting. And the issue is, it isn't just, you know, you say in 7 days, and I think we probably only have a minute left, but the problem with measles is it's a bad infection because of the serious potential complications that can occur with measles, right?
Exactly. Probably 90% of kids do just fine with it and don't have any problems. The problem is those complications, and there's no way of predicting who's going to get them, except for premature babies and babies that have HIV and lots of kind of serious immune-compromised type diseases nowadays. But the potential for pneumonia is there, and, of course, viral pneumonia cannot be treated with antibiotics.
Mm-hmm.
And most kids don't do too bad with that. The serious complication is the encephalitis, when you get the measles infection in the brain. And, again, there's no treatment for it, so that's where that fatality rate of 1 in 1,000 comes from, and there's no predicting who's going to get that.
Right. Yeah, there are no antivirals, which people have to think about in that that brain infection. And then even more rare, there's this progressive brain infection called SSPE, where it goes on, the encephalitis goes on to envelop your whole brain, and that can kind of take a little longer, but kids deteriorate from that. Eventually. Well, I want to thank my guest, Dr. Bruce Lobitz. It's been very informative, and it's important to think about measles, and we've proven what people are afraid of, that there is this relation to autism. It really is not so. This has been ER101. I'm Dr. Lee Vanocur on Radio MD. Stay well and tune into your health.